And we return. It is today's topical currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman on this Thursday. Well, joining us now is chef, author, and syndicated columnist, my longtime friend Linda Gassenheimer. We have an important health-related program today. So what's on the menu?
Well, here's the question. Is there a link between cancer and diet? Well, it raises many questions. I mean, does eating certain foods increase our chance of developing the disease or maybe causing a recurrence? What should we eat if we're going through cancer treatment? Well, Alice Pereira is here to give us some answers. She's a board-certified oncology nutritionist, wow, and a registered dietitian with Baptist Health South Florida. Welcome, Alice Pereira.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, this is a very, very interesting subject, and I'm looking forward to getting some really good information here. And we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any cancer or diet-related questions for Alice Pereira? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. And the phones are open now. Do we have email,
yes,
Bonnie?
Yes, radio@WLRN.org.
Well, also with us, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. You can read his wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes column and Fred's wine column. They're both in today's Miami Herald.
Now, a little bit of wine is good, right?
Yes.
Especially
yes,
red,
it's
right?
All right. Yes. Okay. Okay, Fred, that means you can say hello.
Hello. I don't feel that I'm qualified to talk about the medical aspects of wine, so I thought I'd talk about something a lot simpler, which is the global future of wine.
All right. Sounds okay. Interesting. And it's okay, because Alice says it's all right. All right, Fred?
Oh, glad to hear it.
Good.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, she's saying.
Moderation, that's always the hard
exactly.
part.
Exactly.
Okay, Alice Pereira, cancer and diet. So is there a proven link? Have there been any peer-reviewed studies?
Yes, there's definitely a link between cancer and diet, because diet affects our weight, and there's a link between obesity and cancer. More than two-thirds of our population is overweight, and a third is obese. And
A third.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yes. We're talking about just the United States.
Yes. And so how do they classify obesity? It's basically we use a body mass index table. And between 25 and 30 is overweight. Above 30 is obesity.
Wow. So, we know that obesity, we've been taught that obesity can lead to heart disease and diabetes. But we're not always know that we concentrate on obesity and cancer. I don't think most people would think of it in those terms. And you've mentioned to me in the past that it increases our risk for pancreatic, colorectal, breast, endometrial, and kidney cancer. I mean, so what is the theory here? What does obesity have to do with it?
Well, there's three factors, especially with breast and postmenopausal women. First is that we have, the more obesity we have more fat cells, and that increases our production of hormones, especially estrogen. Second, obesity also causes insulin resistance, and that's like a key word. It means we have increasing the resistance, we have more circulating insulin in our bodies.
Well, let me ask you about that, because it's a little confusing, because we know about insulin resistant people develop diabetes.
Yes.
And then they take insulin.
Yes.
So this is not what you're talking about, is it?
No, this is different. All of our bodies produce insulin, and it produces insulin every time we eat.
What is insulin?
Insulin is a hormone that's used in our cells to utilize the food we eat and turn it into energy.
And the sugar.
To utilize the food that we eat that turns into sugar, to utilize that sugar in our cells to give us energy.
So in other words, without the insulin, we don't have the food doesn't become energy in our bodies.
Exactly.
And so we need it.
Right.
But what you're saying, I think, is that, correct me if I'm wrong here, that because of the fat cells, the body's producing more insulin.
Exactly.
Too much. And it has nothing to do with the diabetes situation.
No.
So this extra insulin, what happens with it?
It's inflammatory. Extra insulin means that your body, whenever you have more insulin and in your body, could contribute to hypertension, diabetes, and now they're saying there might be a link with cancer.
So it could possibly cause tumors to happen.
Exactly.
With this increase because of the extra fat cells.
Exactly.
So that's how I got it straight.
Yes.
Okay, good.
So why do fat cells cause the production of insulin?
Well, fat cells increase your insulin resistance and also produce more hormones. Then also the obesity, the more fat cells increase also inflammation. It's like a key chain reaction of inflammatory mediators that happen when you have more fat cells.
So, okay. Well, we have a call here.
Yes.
On line one. It's Mark in Miami Beach. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
Go ahead.
Good. Go ahead. We're great. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark. But do you have a question?
I have a question concerning food and cancer prevention or helping with cancer. I've had a lot of sun exposure growing up surfing and fishing, and I'm starting to getting a lot of peeling on my skin that doesn't seem to be healing as much. And I'd like to know what foods are recommended to help prevent melanoma.
So can foods affect, I think, it was, can affect skin cancer?
They help prevent?
Okay.
Well, the main thing with melanoma is the exposure to the sun. And that's what we're telling people, that it's important to get exposure because of our vitamin D levels. And vitamin D is a vitamin that has been, has a lot of benefits. But the excess of exposure to sun causes melanomas. I mean, definitely eating a healthy diet definitely helps, a diet that's rich in, we're going to talk later on, rich in plants, fruits and vegetables, antioxidants. But the main thing with melanomas is more...
It's more had to do with the sun.
More than diet-related,
right,
you're saying.
Right, so...
Yes. I see.
So he needs to stay out of the sun and...
limit exposure to the sun, yes.
Right, and I think everybody needs to know that they need to have a checkup every year about skin cancer and that
yes.
kind of thing.
What about herbal remedies and
well, for the skin, vitamin C, it's very good, zinc, protein, but it's just a balanced diet because now we're finding out that it's not one specific nutrient. Is when we eat foods. That's why we're not recommending so much sometimes supplements. We want people to eat the fruits and the vegetables rather than just buy these compounds in a pill.
So tell us, you said we're going to talk about diet and what we should be eating or what we shouldn't be eating. So what's your take here? What should we be eating?
We need to eat a balanced diet, a diet that's plenty of fruits and vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, and when I mean whole grains, I mean like, whole brown rice, whole wheat pasta, quinoa. We need to eat lean meats, fish, salmon, especially the rich omega-3 fish. Basically, we need to eat a balanced diet. Everything in moderation, small portions.
So this is what we've been told. Untold and told, and the problem is how do we do it?
Exactly.
And that's difficult. Bonnie, we'll get to that in a minute. Did you have an email?
Yes. Claudia writes, my sister-in-law had neuroendocrine carcinoid at the early age of 27. From books I read, we were told to limit sugar. Is cancer fed by sugar? That's her first question.
Yes. Well, we ask the patients to limit the amount of sugar and the unnecessary sugar, which the sweets, the jellies, the jams, the cakes, the cookies. But like we were saying, our body needs sugar. Our brain needs sugar to function. So it's not like we need to take out all sugar because, for example, rice and pasta and starches turn into sugar. They're made up of sugar. So it's all about moderation. We need to take out the unnecessary sugar and the excess amount of sugar, of carbohydrates.
Her other question, since there wasn't a connection of genes with my sister-in-law's cancer and I'd like to avoid my husband and children to have any connection with this disease, I was also looking to alkaline water. Is there any link between alkaline water and the cure or prevention of cancers?
No, that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. What is alkaline water? Do we know?
The thing is that, your stomach has a certain pH, and it's an acidic pH, and you need that pH to absorb nutrients and to break them down. So, your body will compensate whatever pH, if you're having a certain water that's more alkaline or acidic.
Okay.
It would make sure that it maintains that pH.
Right. Well, our phone number is 800-743-9576 if you'd like to call in with a question for Alice. Do you have another email?
Another emailer.
Okay.
Clelia wants to know, does soursop, guanabana fruit, prevent cancer or assist in the prevention of cancer returning?
Guanabana.
It's guanabana.
Oh, guanabana. Well, you can tell.
It's guanabana.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I mean, I've come, a lot of patients that I've been seeing lately have been, you know, asking me about this fruit. And the thing is that, you know, always there's not like substantial studies to say either or, but definitely it's
not bad for you.
Exactly.
Well, and I think the point that we've been talking about is something that we've been talking about for so long. You need to have all the different parts of your diet. Use fresh fruits and vegetables. Use you know, lean meats. And I mean, this is something. It's a Mediterranean diet, is what we've been talking about.
Exactly.
And so just. If she fills up on soursop, doesn't mean she's not going to get cancer.
Exactly.
Is what we're trying to say.
Is it more genetic anyway?
Well, it not necessarily. It could be genetic. It could be due to hormones. It could be due to a bacteria or a virus. It could be, you know, now we're finding, for example, people who suffer from reflux could have a higher incidence of esophageal cancer. So it could be different things.
Well, that sounds like fun.
What about juices versus fruit? Are fruit much more
better?
The fiber much better for you than
juice?
Definitely.
We want to get that fiber in. We're seeing that people are not getting enough fiber. We need at least 25 grams of fiber a day minimum.
And that's hard to get.
It's very hard to get.
Yeah, it is. And so you really got to concentrate on that.
What food has the most fiber?
Beans, legumes. And, you know, berries, blueberries.
Fruits, you can get them in fruits and vegetables, but you really need
definitely fruits and vegetables. I mean,
you know, an apple has only 4 grams, so you need 25.
Exactly.
You have to know that. Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking with board-certified oncology nutritionist and registered dietitian Alice Pereira about the link between diet and cancer. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking with Alice Pereira. She's a board-certified oncology nutritionist and registered dietitian with Baptist Health South Florida, and she's been giving us the latest news and some great advice about the link between cancer and diet. So talking about cancer and diet and what should we eat, we've been talking about how do we get some of these foods into our diet and all that. It's Dinner in Minutes time, and today's Dinner in Minutes is let me see what it is. Here it is. It's curry crusted scallops with carrots and rice. And what happened is that I've lost my notes here. I want to make sure I've given you the right notes. Everybody's laughing at me. Okay, Dinner in Minutes. This fits the government nutritional guidelines. So sweet scallops, they're touched by some curry, and then we have the side dish has some shredded carrots. And Alice is shaking her head yes, because curry has turmeric in it.
Exactly.
Right? Okay, and turmeric happens to be good for us. Is that right?
Yes, it's very good for cancer.
Now, I have a question, Linda. Did you make your curry the way we were taught by...
Last week.
This is Dinner in Minutes. I bought my curry powder.
Okay.
But be sure if you're going to buy your curry powder to buy it, if it's over 6 months old, it won't have any flavor if it's been in your cupboard for that long. So anyway, you just have a dusting of the curry powder on the scallops. You cook the scallops for 2 or 3 minutes per side. That's it. Take them out of the skillet. And here's something that I think will surprise everybody. I add some apricot jam, a little water to melt the jam, and some cream, a little bit of cream. And Alice is saying, yes, we can have the cream. And here's the point. You can have a little something sweet. You can have a little bit of cream, and that's okay, because it's...
Everything is in moderation, and sometimes we take things to the extreme. So any diet that takes anything to the extreme, I don't agree with. I think everything's a balanced. And even, you know, it's okay if you have a little fat or a little sugar, as long as you do it in moderation, but small everything, amounts.
Right. So, and then with that, with the curry and all that, we can have a little bit of rice. So you cook the rice. I cook it like pasta in boiling water. Drain it, add some shredded carrots that you can buy already shredded in the supermarket, olive oil, and salt and pepper.
Sounds good.
So sounds good. I'm okay. All right. Thank you, Alice. Well, the complete recipe and a photo is at dinnerminutes.com. And if you want another quick recipe, that glazed meatloaf with sweet potatoes and green beans, it's in today's Miami Herald. And she's shaking her head yes, too, because even meatloaf we can have on a balanced diet. So look in the Herald for that recipe. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking?
You know, that recipe you just gave sounds absolutely marvelous. I'm going to try to make that really soon.
Oh, good.
Good sounding stuff. Anyway, as we go into the new year, I thought I'd talk a little bit about the state of wine in America and in the world. So here's what's trending. Americans love wine, in moderation, of course. We drank more of it last year for the 19th year in a row, keeping our place as the world's biggest wine-drinking nation. We love California wine. It's 58% of everything we drink. But we don't want to spend a lot on it. 48% of all the wine we buy is less than $11 a bottle. We say we prefer dry wine, but more and more we're turning to sweet wines. The fastest growing varieties in the U.S. are Moscato, up 33%, and sweet red wines, up 22%. Our favorite varieties are, in order, Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Pinot Grigio, Moscato, sweet red wines, and Malbec. But still, we shouldn't get too proud of ourselves. Americans last year still spent $3 on beer for every dollar we spent on wine. And the future of wine is kind of surprising. Global warming is pushing to the north the boundaries of growing grapes. England today has 400 wineries.
That is amazing, really.
When you think stuff probably goes well with English food.
But when you think that England's on the same latitude as Labrador. It's north.
Yeah. But they're out there in the ocean, and that moderates everything, apparently. At the same time, which is also surprising, Western Europe is lagging. Italy, France, and Spain are drinking more beer and sodas and less wine these days. And wine is also moving to the east. Within 5 years, China is on schedule to double its wine business and become the world's biggest producer of wine and its biggest consumer.
Wow, that's amazing.
Even the Russians are starting to drink wine, cheap wine mostly, but it's not likely to catch up with vodka anytime soon. And as I said last week, India is starting to drink some wine. Moët and Chandon, the people who make the famous Dom Perignon champagne, is introducing a new champagne to be made and consumed in India. And farther into the future, who knows? Another country that's in the geographical zone that could grow grapes if it wanted to is North Korea. And how'd you like a glass of that?
All right. Thank you,
Fred. Fred, what happened to the French?
Well, they're starting to, they like beer because it's lighter. And what the big thing going on there is that it's being taken over by Coca-Cola. There's a nice trend.
Coca-Cola in France?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There goes their national pride, huh?
All right. That's code of line, too. Hi, Sarah. Hi. You're on the air. Hello, Sarah. You there?
Yes. I have a comment to make. When I went through breast cancer about 4 or 5 years ago, I was told not to eat fresh fruits, which I thought, what? That's crazy. And what was even crazier is that they gave me the menu when they were giving me lunch, and there was an apple on the plate.
I think sometimes when patients are going through chemotherapy, their immune system could be depressed. And because of that, we tell patients they need to wash well their fruits and vegetables. Sometimes we tell them, now they're being a little bit more liberal, like saying if you have them at home, it's okay if you have fresh fruits and vegetables, as long as you wash them well. But we kind of try to tell them outside of your house, try not to eat raw fruits and vegetables because of the pesticides. You don't know how they're washed. And I think that's the whole theory behind it. And before, we used to tell patients that their white blood cell count was very low to stay away from raw fruits and vegetables.
And what's the best way of washing them? Should you use Clorox in water?
No.
Okay.
They have a solution that they sell sometimes to wash fresh fruits and vegetables that you could use. But you just want to make sure you rinse them well underwater.
Rinse them well or with a little lemon juice, little vinegar or something like
that. Or sometimes vinegar.
Yeah.
In the water.
It's safer.
Safer,
Clorox,
I guess. Right? No, I knew of somebody who was going through cancer and used to put a drop of Clorox in the water and then...
Well, I think we've got plenty, a lot of chlorine in our water
yes.
that we drink.
No, you're probably
yes.
right.
Coming through. Do we have time just for one more call here on line one?
Quickly.
Yeah, okay. Hi, Fred and Fort Lauderdale. Quick question, please.
Hello, yes. Back when I was in high school, I was told that the raw sugar, for fine sugar, when it gets in your stomach, it causes the Isles of Langerhans in the pancreas to just dump insulin to digest it.
So and
let's get an answer from the doctor on that.
From the nutritionist.
Anyway, what I'd like to know is you showed an alternate thing about cancer, and I was wondering, does this thing that I have learned in high school...
Fred, I'm sorry, we're almost out of time. Quickly, refined sugar, we should just keep it in balance?
Yeah, definitely try to take away the refined sugar from your diet and just have more of the complex carbohydrates, like the brown rice, the quinoa, and stay away from the refined.
A lot of it.
Exactly.
A spoonful a day is not going to hurt you.
Exactly.
But a lot of it, three donuts for breakfast is not on the scale.
Definitely not.
Okay, well, it's been really, really an interesting week. Alice Pereira, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
She's board-certified oncology nutritionist and registered dietitian at Baptist Health South Florida. How can we contact you if people want to get a hold of you?
Well, they could actually
email
me at alicep at baptisthealth.net.
That's simple. Alicep at baptisthealth.net.
Baptist
Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Joseph and Bonnie, great to be with you.
Mm-hmm. Likewise.
Next week, we'll be talking about home food delivery with somebody called Deliver Lean. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.